Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we hear from a Minnesota soldier from Afghanistan who is helping to train the Afghan Army and the president of the Association of County Veteran Service Officers. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
As the Adjutant General, I'm committed to the continual improvement of our operations. Therefore, it is a part of my policy and my vision to generate obtainable goals that lead to a sustainable future for the Minnesota National Guard. Currently, these goals address integration of the environmental management with mission, regulatory compliance, pollution prevention, and environmental awareness. To implement my vision, we have designated three objectives that align with Executive Order 13423, with multiple targets that implement strategies to reduce energy consumption, minimize encroachment around Camp Ripley, and reduce waste. These objectives align with planning and create sustainable daily practices. Some of these initiatives can simply be low-cost solutions such as turning lights off, doing lighting upgrades, installing new fixtures that reduce the amount of water used, and taking air infiltration measures by insulating our workspace. On a larger scale, the Minnesota Army National Guard has installed a geothermal heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system at Camp Ripley and is evaluating the use of wind and solar power to reduce our dependence on electricity in the spirit of Army's net zero initiatives. Additionally, we are promoting more efficient facilities through leadership in energy and environmental design, or LEED, construction and renovation practices. These initiatives have an immediate impact on the amount of energy used, which in turn reduces the energy costs for the agency. By implementing these measures, we will improve awareness of our sustainable practices, save money, and become better stewards of our environment. I fully support our environmental goals and objectives as they benefit the training our soldiers receive, improve mission readiness, and increase our ability to protect the resources and citizens of our state.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. A departure ceremony was held April 15th at the National Guard Armory in Rosemont, Minnesota, for 55 Minnesota National Guard soldiers who were leaving on a one-year deployment to Afghanistan. Their mission was to train, coach, and mentor Afghan security forces, coalition forces, and the Afghan Army. Joining us now is Captain Brian Waters from the Minnesota National Guard, calling from Camp Alamo, Kabul, Afghanistan. Captain Waters, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom, and thank you for this opportunity to talk about the mission we're doing over here.
Can you tell me, Captain, how are the conditions over there, and how are your soldiers?
The conditions are, compared to some of the other deployments I've done, are very good for us. Of the 55 soldiers that Minnesota deployed, three of us are on this particular team, and we're living, as you said, in Camp Alamo at this time. The conditions are great. The living conditions are better than I'm really used to. And we get a lot of support from the base here. So.
And, Captain, can you tell us a little bit about what is your mission and how's it been going?
The mission has been going really well. We've been very lucky to get this mission. When we initially came into country, we learned we were split out as an artillery training team, and the Afghans use a Russian artillery piece called the B or Delta 30. So we learned, we did a quick crash course on that and gathered up the classroom materials and the classes themselves, and we moved out to northern Afghanistan, Camp Span, named after the first American that was killed in Afghanistan. And we worked with the 209th Corps of the Afghan National Army. We worked with their artillery, our artillery brothers, and we was split up into the officer section, which I trained, the forward fire support, or the guys that actually call the rounds, call and actually see the enemy, and then the third section was the gun section, the ones that actually work with the weapon system. That was about 4 months. It was over the summer. It stretched out to about 5 months due to Ramadan, is a very important holiday to the Afghans and to the Muslim to Muslims. So that took a little bit longer. We adjusted a little bit, and then the second half of our deployment here, we've come back to Kabul to the Afghan School of Artillery to work with the artillery school itself, where they train the new recruits, and also and really primarily it has been working with the new teams that are coming in to go out and train across the country the other artillery units. We train them up. We're sort of like the train the trainers.
We're speaking with Captain Brian Waters from the Minnesota National Guard from Camp Alamo, Kabul, Afghanistan, on Minnesota Military Radio. Captain, you've said that the first half of your deployment was training the Afghan Army Corps, and then the second half was dealing with some coalition teams?
Exactly.
And what...
In the second half, we've worked with Croatians, Australians, British, Canadians, the U.S. Marines, and U.S. Army trainers that are coming through to head back out. They come here to get training like we did before they go out to train their unit.
And primarily... during the first half of your deployment there, your team was focusing on three areas. I understand training infantry soldiers at platoon level and training artillery.
No, I'm sorry. We break up the field artillery training into three groups. You'll have the gun sections, which are the actual weapon system, the guys that actually load the round and pull the string and fire the weapon. You've got the fire support section, which are the ones with the binoculars that are out looking at the targets and adjusting, calling in if they miss the target, how to adjust and get on target. And then the fire direction center, which is sort of the brains of the operation, and they do all the math and the calculations to figure out how to get the round from the gun to the target. And those, when we were in Camp Span, and when we train the trainers, we break it out that way.
All right, Captain, we have to take a short break. We'll be right back with Captain Brian Waters from Camp Alamo in Kabul, Afghanistan, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I'm speaking with Captain Brian Waters, who's calling from Camp Alamo, Kabul, Afghanistan. Captain, how long have you been in the service?
Let's see. I've been in the National Guard since 2001. I joined in June of 2001. I was in OCS when 9/11 happened. I've been with 1st Battalion, 151st Field Artillery, headquartered out of Montevideo, Minnesota, the whole time I've been in the National Guard. Way back in the past, many decades ago, 1987, I joined the United States Marine Corps. I went to basic training, I was infantry, so I went to school of infantry. I spent a year in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. And then I went to the Fleet Marine Force on the West Coast. And from there, did a European, or Asian, I mean, an Asian float. And then right at the end of my four-year enlistment was the Persian Gulf War. So went to the first Gulf War, and I came back from that. And about 2 months later is when I got out and went to college.
I just had to ask that question, Captain. I saw Camp Pendleton in my briefing papers, and I was wondering how the Marine Corps got involved with an Army captain.
Yeah, that was many years ago. I actually have a reunion planned with some of my Marine Corps buddies shortly after I get back next month.
And once again, we've been talking about your deployment to Afghanistan on the National Training Mission to help train, coach, and mentor Afghan security forces, coalition forces, and the Afghan Army. How's the big picture item? How are the Afghan Army troops doing? Is the training going well?
The training is going well. It's probably going better than it sometimes feels day to day in the classroom. One of the biggest challenges is the language barrier. So we have a translators that will say something, you know, we'll say the lesson in English, you know, you say a sentence or two, then they translate, and then you say a sentence or two and you translate. We found rather quickly that we did much better, and the ANA soldiers responded much more quickly with hands-on training, just like same thing as American soldiers. And so we really focused on getting them out of the classroom and getting them, you know, on their weapon system or doing whatever it is their job was, because they learned very, very quickly by hands-on. Their literacy and numeracy is low. It's like around 5% of them can read and write. So it's the challenge was developing workarounds to be able to get them. Field artillery is as a rule not very friendly to people who can't read and write. So, but we worked on stuff, and the soldiers themselves had like the Afghan National Army has a program. When they join the Army, they also get classes on reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Now, Captain, you've said your tour is going to be up in about a month. Is there another training mission following you that will pick up where you've left off?
Oh, absolutely. There, as I alluded to a little bit, the last half of our deployment has been training the units from the other countries that are coming through to go out and train those units. So that's been a continuing mission, and I think it's really a focus for the coalition forces is to continue that. We've had from reports and assessments, there's been a lot of success in this type of training where you send out a team to be with that unit and take them through the training. Yes, they are definitely keeping that up. Our position specifically, I don't think there's an American unit coming in to take over. I believe the Canadians and the Australians are just going to pick up the load after we leave.
We're speaking with Minnesota Army National Guard Captain Brian Waters from Camp Alamo, Kabul, Afghanistan, on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Captain, coming down the last 30 days, one of those coalition teams will be picking up and taking over with the Afghan Army that you've been working with for the last year. Have they identified which team yet?
Yes, there's been several that have come through, and there's a team here. The school itself, the Field Artillery School, is run by the Australians, an Australian unit, and supported by a Canadian unit. There's also French, Greek, Croatian, Mongolian. I think there's a total of about 18 different countries represented just here in Camp Alamo. Truly a multinational force. And all of the focus from the building I'm in is towards field artillery. So, indeed, Captain, they are here.
Captain, it sounds like you need about 55 interpreters over there.
Yeah, it's we've got a few guys on our staff that really work hard to learn as many languages as they can. Sergeant First Class Andrew Haig, he's from Anoka there. He's got a good relationship with just about every country that's on this base because he makes an effort to learn something beyond hello and goodbye. I mean, he'll stop and many times the foreign soldiers will stop him and talk to him because they know he's one of the few Americans that can talk to him. So,
Captain, we've just got about a minute. We've got about a minute left. I know you and your soldiers are getting anxious to come home. Any final thoughts for us from Camp Alamo?
One thought is how appreciative we are of all the support we get from back home. With only three of us here in the unit, the state of Minnesota has developed a reputation as a state that really supports their troops. I'm trying to think, and I wish I would have brought the list, but a lot of companies were involved, especially over Christmas, in sending us things. And we got so much support that we were able to help out and share our bounty with all of the other National Guard and soldiers from the different states. It's just been phenomenal. There's really no place like Minnesota and the support they give. And every time I'm deployed, I relearn that. And yeah. I just want to say thanks to all the listeners. And we really appreciate knowing that you guys are behind us.
Captain, thanks for staying up so late and joining us on Minnesota Military Radio today.
No problem, Tom. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. That was Captain Brian Waters from the Minnesota Army National Guard, direct from Camp Alamo, Kabul, Afghanistan. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss the new Beyond the Yellow Ribbon campaign that asks, "What's your Yellow Ribbon story?" In February, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon asked their friends on Facebook how their lives had been touched by volunteers in Yellow Ribbon networks. The first story sent in was from the Moore family. Mayor E. Moore was a new member of the Minnesota National Guard. He had just arrived at a 14-week training out of state when he received a call from his wife. Erica told him that their house had caught fire. The young family, complete with a 3-month-old baby boy, knew the next few months would be rough. Erica and their son spent the next 6 weeks in a hotel while the house was being put back together. Marie wanted desperately to come home and help, stayed to finish his training at Erica's request. Marie was, however, able to call the Rosemount Yellow Ribbon Network. The network brought meals, a homemade quilted blanket for their son, and gift cards. They also helped clean up the refurbished home. Since hearing from the Moore family, others have shared their experience. So we ask, what's your Yellow Ribbon story? Many thanks to the Moore family for sharing your story about how volunteers in your community have gone beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness, connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Read all of the Yellow Ribbon stories by finding the What's Your Yellow Ribbon Story photo album on their Facebook page and at facebook.com/beyondtheyellowribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, united to bring service members all the way home. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll speak to the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Please stay with us.
This is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. This message is to help employers recruit top-notch people. Did you know that only 27% of the men and women between the ages of 17 and 24 qualify to be in the U.S. military? That's right, only 27% qualify to be in the U.S. military. One out of six veterans were on the front line. That means five out of six veterans worked in supply and support positions. The United States military is one of the best training institutions in the world. Our veterans have received excellent training on the latest supply and support technologies, the same supply and support know-how that is required to contribute to the success of a company. The words unselfish, technology talented, and policy discipline describe most of our veterans. If those words describe the type of person you're looking for, do what I did. Add to all your job postings and your website that you're a veteran-friendly employer and participate in the National Hire Vets First campaign. Thank you, veterans, and thank you, military families.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're going to be talking to the president of the Association of Minnesota, the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, shortly. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledo.
The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is a strong partner with the Federal Veterans Affairs Administration, located at the Whipple Building in St. Paul, and with the VA Healthcare Systems in Minneapolis and St. Cloud. However, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, or as we refer to it, MDVA, is often confused with these entities. Here is how MDVA is different from its federal partners. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs is a cabinet-level state agency dedicated to serving Minnesota veterans and their families. The Veterans Home Division provides a continuum of long-term care for its residents with a strong emphasis on remembering and recognizing the services and sacrifice of all veterans. The five veterans homes operating in Minnesota are located in Minneapolis, Hastings, Silver Bay, Laverne, and Fergus Falls. They focus on providing the excellent care and services that Minnesotans expect for our state's military heroes. These five homes manage a combination of skilled nursing care beds, domiciliary care, rehabilitation, recreational therapy, work therapy, and Alzheimer programs. In addition to overseeing the five state veterans homes, MDVA helps eligible veterans and their families secure state and federal benefits and provides programs and services relating to higher education, benefits, burials, claims, outreach, and veterans preferences. Key partnerships include veteran service organizations, county veteran service officers, and a number of public and private service providers. For more information, visit minnesotaveteran.org or call 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledo. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining us now is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Todd Kavinsky. Todd, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be here again.
So I got to start out. I got to ask you, if you're president of the Minnesota Association of CVSOs, no acronyms, of course.
Yes.
Does that leave you plenty of time to take care of the Scott County veterans?
Oh, my goodness. It definitely adds to the workload that we have in Scott County. Actually, I'm even running a person short. We're in the middle of hiring a replacement for my assistant, Jackie Schwartz. After 37 years of serving veterans, finally decided it was time to retire.
She had enough of you, in other words.
I think that was probably it, yes.
Can you tell us about the association? What's it all about?
Sure. The Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers represents all 87 counties in the state of Minnesota. There are currently 120 or so active members of the association, and it is our goal as an association, one, to make sure that the members are trained properly and have the knowledge base to serve our veterans to the best of our ability, and also to ensure that the benefits that we obtain for our veterans with state and federal are maintained. And we get involved with a lot of that, too.
So do you help out with a little training and resources and those type of things as an association?
Absolutely. We have at least one spring conference and one fall conference every year. We work with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in the spring. Fall conference is our actual conference. And in the last couple of years, we've actually adopted a national standard of training so that every single CVSO in the state is trained at least to the same basic minimum level. What that does is it makes sure that a veteran can go into any county in the state of Minnesota and at least get that same basic service. So we're taking care of our veterans.
Now, I had a commissioner on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he always tells us, he gives me an update, the exact number. But basically, there's over 381,000 veterans in the state of Minnesota.
That would be correct. I started out in Hennepin County as an assistant. At the time, we had 97,000 veterans there. There were four of us who actively took claims there. Now I'm in Scott County. We have right around 10,000 veterans. So, yeah, we keep busy.
And, Todd, what do you do as a county veteran service officer, and what type of issues do you help veterans and, I suppose, current active duty reserve and guard personnel with?
Absolutely. As a CVSO, we are basically the first stop for all veteran issues. We're located right there in the county, in the community. So they come to us, they initiate their claims for either compensation or pension to help get started on their education benefits, to get enrolled in VA health care. And if they have any other issues like short-term emergency issues, we have some state programs that we could tap the soldiers into to help them out. One-time grants for real serious emergencies such as maybe a water heater or furnace going out, we can help them get that repaired. And if they have other issues that need to be done that don't fit in with the veterans programs, then we will communicate with nonprofits, other county partners, and other agencies throughout the state to help make sure that we take a holistic view of taking care of the veteran and their family.
We're speaking with Todd Kubinski, president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, on Minnesota Military Radio. Todd, when you're helping the veterans, you know, they come in all shapes, sizes, and ages, World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq, don't they?
Absolutely. On any given day, I might deal with a World War II veteran, someone from that served during Korea, Vietnam veterans. We're still seeing a large number of those. And these are guys that have never been in since they got out of the service. They have never been in to see anybody even remotely affiliated with the VA because there was some mistrust, and rightly so. Now they're starting to understand that the CVSOs are there and they're taking advantage of the programs that we have now. And, of course, we're getting the young guys back, too. The National Guardsmen, the Reserves, and active duty, as we can capture them. We get them into our office. We start with the service-connected compensations, get them into the VA healthcare system, and then anything else that they think they need to get back to becoming a civilian again.
A civilian again. There you go. Todd, a lot of my buddies for the Vietnam veterans have never been anywhere near a county veteran service officer or the VA. But a lot of them are suffering from things like post-traumatic stress. What are you seeing, and how are the veterans doing? How do you help them?
Well, what we're seeing is that with all the attention that the current Gulf War has with the veterans coming back and the programs that are being advertised now and being known publicly, is that our Vietnam veterans are actually more comfortable with coming into our offices now, which is a fantastic thing. They know that we're there to help them. And they know that we recognize PTSD, unlike when they first came back, where it was completely misunderstood. In fact, not even a real diagnosis at the time. We understand it. We know how to work with it. And we're very good at putting together these claims and developing them ahead of time so the VA doesn't have to do a lot of the work. That helps out, especially here in the state of Minnesota. We have a great relationship between the CVSOs, or County Veteran Service Officers, the National Service Officers, which act as the legal part of the team in doing the claim, and the VA Regional Office are the people that make the decision on the claim. We actually have open lines of communication and a good working relationship with them. It is the most unique situation anywhere in the country.
So my buddies from Vietnam are seeing all the support for today's troops and their families and all of those programs, and it's causing them to say, hey, I'm having some trouble, and they come over and see you. They're a little reluctant still, aren't they?
They are, but what inevitably happens, you get a good CVSO in the office, and one veteran finally comes in, he says, I can't do this by myself anymore. I got to go in and get some help. He gets taken care of. The first thing he's going to do is tell his buddy who also served in Vietnam, hey, go see the CVSO. This guy gets it. Most of our business is through word of mouth. You help one or two guys, they talk to each other over coffee. Yeah, Tom told me to give you a call. Can I come in? Absolutely. And then our business explodes. And we're seeing a lot more of that now.
Todd, the commissioner mentioned a few weeks ago that a lot of the Vietnam veterans put their heads down, went to work, busy for their whole career. Now they're retiring, and they've got some time on their hands. Some things are coming back to them, and they're having some trouble. Have you seen a lot of that?
Absolutely. As they start slowing down and retiring, there's a couple of things that happen. One is, they start thinking back on their life because they are getting older. As we get older, we start paying attention to our own mortality, so to speak, start looking back at what we did in life. And unfortunately, those memories, especially of combat, are going to be the strongest, and they start to come out again. The other thing, too, is that a lot of the medical issues, especially the Vietnam veteran related to Agent Orange exposure, a lot of those issues will start manifesting themselves 30, 35 years after getting out of country. We're starting to see an uptick in diabetes claims, an uptick in Parkinson's disease claims, and an uptick in some of the cancers that are related. So we're dealing with those also.
Todd, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about all the resources available and where our veterans should go first. We're speaking with Todd Kubinski, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I'm speaking to Todd Kubinski, president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and also the County Veteran Service Officer in Scott County. Todd's been real informative about what's happening and who you take care of and all of those things, but there are a lot of programs out today and a lot of, thank God, a lot of people helping the troops and the families and the veterans and so forth. But when a veteran has an issue, where do they start, and how do you sort through the family readiness groups, the FACs, all of the places out there? Are you the place to start?
We absolutely are the place to start. The reason that you start with us is that we get information about all the different groups that have programs for veterans, whether they're government agencies or nonprofits or just private concerns. There are literally hundreds of groups out there that have something for veterans, but it's often tough to figure out which group fits this particular veteran's need. That's where we come in. And the first stop for any veteran when they get out of the service, they're told when they separate, they get their discharge paper. It's the DD Form 214. They have the original copy. The original copy. They need to go get it recorded down at the county recorder's office so that document's protected. So it's ever lost or stolen, they can get a true certified copy. That's how we get them.
So really, when they're discharged, they should go down to the courthouse, get it recorded, and then stop in and say hi to their county veteran service officer.
Absolutely. And then, like the case in Scott County, I'm actually a deputy recorder. So I actually record their 214s for them. And if they've elected to have their a copy of their DD 214 sent to their home or record, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs will send us a copy. We actually write a letter to their last known address telling them we see your back. We got a copy of your 214. You have the original. Please come down to our office and get it recorded. That's one of the ways that we're able to try to capture the ones and twos that come back. And I know that Commissioner Shelito talks about that. How do we capture those ones and twos? That's one of the ways that we do it.
Now, you and your fellow veteran service officers are training all the time. The association's helping them. You're discovering all of these resources. But when it comes to something like the Family Assistance Centers in Minnesota, how do you work together? How does that happen?
Well, a lot of that happens is that we get invited to things like the Commander's Task Force, UVLC, meetings with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and oftentimes military affairs is there. We also interact with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, too. We're very engaged with that process. So by doing that, we actually cross-populate, and we develop contacts. When we do our trainings, especially in the fall and also in the spring, we bring these players into us, and we get one-on-one time with them as well as their presentation, and we kind of develop that Rolodex. And that's how we develop these relationships. It's something that we do actively so that we are able to triage the veteran, for lack of a better term, and make sure he gets the proper benefit structure that's for that person.
And then you get him out to the appropriate organization depending on what he needs?
Absolutely. Once we're done doing our thing, we will give them referral numbers. We'll give them actual names of contact people. This is the person you want to talk to. This is what they can do to help you. go ahead and give them a call. And, you know, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has a couple of programs. One of them with the CORE program through Lutheran Social Services. That's one that we do a lot of referral to. We work with MACV, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, dealing with homeless issues and near homeless issues.
And the stand downs.
And we also work very closely with the stand downs throughout the state. In fact, I just got back from Detroit Lakes last night. They're having spring training up there for our counties that are up in that northwest area where Fargo or regional office is the one that they work through. So I got a chance to say hello to the folks up there. The great training going on up there. Some of the best that I've seen.
And talk to me a little bit. We've just got a couple minutes left about your interaction with the family assistance centers.
Well, when it comes to the family assistance centers, basically the way we do it is if we have a veteran who is out of the service, then we work with them through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and the State Soldiers Assistance Program. If the veteran is on active duty or deployed, then the family assistance centers would be the contact. They basically mirror that program with their own program. That way the dollars are going to the right person at the right time, and that way we're able to take care of everybody as best we can.
So, Todd, we're just about out of time. Any final? A lot of the veterans don't want to reach out for help, but they really should get to know their county veteran service officer, shouldn't they?
They absolutely should. Just recording that DD-214 is worth its weight in gold. Believe me, a lot of Vietnam guys realize that, and we're able to get those documents. But the most important thing is by coming in to see us, we work for the county. We are truly their advocate. We don't work for the state. We don't work for the federal government. You come to see us, we are there specifically to fight on behalf of that veteran to make sure that they get the benefits that they've earned. There are no handouts. Every benefit we deal with, they've already paid for by their service.
So if they need help, if they just need someone to talk to, if they need to file a claim, go see your county veteran service officer.
Absolutely. And if you want to find out who your veteran service officer is, just go to www.macvso.org. There's a directory there. You'll find your CVSO.
Todd, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Todd Kaminsky, president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Joining us now is the senior enlisted advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. Sergeant Major, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
I understand you've got some family reintegration academies coming up. Would you like to tell us about that?
Yeah, I would. Actually, you know, as you know, we have 2,700 soldiers coming back pretty soon in a couple of months here from our 1st Brigade Combat Team. And so all of those families are taking time right now to prepare for the return of their soldiers. They're attending a seminar that we call Family Reintegration Academy, and that's really designed for people like spouses and parents and children of those people who are deployed. It introduces them to what they should expect when their soldier returns and then some resources that are available to help them assist in their reintegration process. It also allows them to communicate their concerns and connect with some other people who are going through the same thing, as well as celebrating the fact that their soldiers are going to be home soon.
So the Family Reintegration Academies are for the families to go get ready for the soldiers' return, and then when the soldiers come back, they also go through some training, don't they?
They do. There's a couple of events, a 30-day event, a 60-day event, and a 90-day event. And the first two events are for their families as well, so they attend with their families. But really the first step is getting involved before their soldiers come home in this reintegration academy for the family. And typically we have one set up for each deployment coming back. But since this deployment, we have 2,700 soldiers coming back from all four corners of the state. We've actually brought the academy to our soldiers. Using the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon networks that we have had reintegration ceremonies or reintegration academies in Brainerd, Owatonna, Roseville, and Worthington so that we can bring it to where the families are. That's really helped.
And Sergeant Major, if some of those families are listening and they're interested in getting involved, where can they find information?
YellowRibbon.com, and then their units are going to send out information to all of the families as well. So we're really encouraged by those families who have taken the time to prepare themselves for the return of their soldiers. And then we want to make sure that we thank all the communities in the Yellow Ribbon networks for what they're doing to help with the families.
So as usual, for more information, they go to our favorite website, which is beyondtheyellowribbon.com?
Absolutely.
Sergeant Major, any final thoughts for our listeners?
I think it's just an exciting time to be able to welcome our soldiers home soon. So I encourage everybody to prepare for that.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Command, the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio. And I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. From the Minnesota Army National Guard, Captain Brian Weldon. From Kabul, Afghanistan, Todd Kabinski, the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Command Sergeant Major Cindy Kahlberg, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we discover the summer camp options for military children and talk about veterans in the arts. That's next Sunday morning at 7. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.